We'll turn again to John's Gospel. It's been some weeks since we were last looking together at the Gospel according to John. It seemed a good idea to take a break during the summer months when so many folk have been away. But now I want us to take up where we left off. But let me warn you that this morning my main goal is simply to remind you of some of the themes that we've already looked at in these chapters. You remember that this section of John's Gospel runs from chapter 13 to chapter 17. And in this section, the Lord Jesus is with his disciples in an upstairs room in a house in Jerusalem. They eat supper together, the Last Supper. And then the Lord Jesus tells them that he's going to be leaving them very soon. He's going somewhere where they can't follow him. He's talking, of course, about his death and the things that will happen after his death. He's going to die, that brutal, dreadful death at Calvary. And then he's going to return from the dead, and he's going to appear to the disciples. But then, after 40 days, he's going to leave this world, and he's going to return to his Father's house in heaven. And the disciples are going to be left in this world without him. That's what Jesus is talking about all through these chapters of John's Gospel. Now, of course, when the Lord Jesus tells them that, they are horrified. They don't understand what he means when he talks of leaving them. And they are simply shattered at the thought that they might have to live here in this world without him. For them, it's the most horrifying, dreadful idea imaginable. The thought of life without the Lord Jesus. The thought of having to go on down through the years without Jesus beside them. How can we live without Jesus? It's Jesus who's dealt with the problem of our sin. It's Jesus who's wiped away our guilt. It's Jesus who gives us peace with God. It's Jesus who's given us hope and meaning and certainty. It's Jesus who teaches us and leads us and gives us strength. It's Jesus who's given us power to put away our sins and to live pure lives in the presence of God. Jesus is everything to us. Jesus is everything we need, everything we want. We love him more than all the world. And now he's talking of leaving us. That's the way the disciples reacted when they heard this news. How can we live without Jesus? But the Lord Jesus comforts these disciples. You see the great words at the beginning of chapter 14. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. It's such a simple, plain command. Jesus says to his disciples, don't let your hearts be troubled. He's going to repeat it in chapter 14, verse 27. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. I don't want you ever to be worried, says Jesus. All right, I am leaving you, and you have to face this world with all its crises and problems and hurts and desperate situations. But I don't want you ever to be worried. I don't want you to be anxious, to be fretting, to be frightened. I want you to be at peace. Trust me, says the Lord Jesus. You have nothing to worry about. There is no reason why your hearts should ever be troubled. There is no reason for you to be anxious or frightened or disturbed. I give you my solemn word. I give you my personal assurance, says Jesus. You have nothing to worry about. That is the command. That is the assurance that Jesus gives to his disciples as they face the prospect of him leaving this world. So it's a command for all of his disciples, for all time. It's a command for us now that he has left this world. Yes, the disciples are going to be left in, and they are going to have to live in a difficult, frightening, puzzling world, a world full of suffering and temptation and sin. It's the world we live in. And we feel inadequate and confused and weak and liable to fall. And yet Jesus says to them and he says to us, don't be intimidated. Don't be frightened. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You feel isolated. You feel vulnerable. You feel out of your depth. Well, trust me and don't let your hearts be troubled. I know we looked at this verse, John chapter 14, verse 1, months ago, and we looked at it over a period of time, but I think it is worth coming back and emphasizing this verse again. It really is a blanket instruction from the Lord Jesus Christ. He really means it. He really does say to every Christian in every situation, don't let it worry you. Don't let your heart be disturbed. You know, there are so many situations in which we feel it's almost our duty to be worrying. Well, with my mother in hospital so ill, surely it would be wrong if I weren't worrying about her. Well, given the state of the churches in our country, surely I ought to be unhappy and anxious. Well, while my children are unconverted, isn't it my duty to be troubled about them? When I think of my own spiritual state and how cold-hearted, how sinful I am, surely I need to be troubled, don't I? And Jesus simply says, do not let your heart be troubled. Yes, the particular situation that's nagging away at the back of your mind that you've brought with you this morning. Yes, that situation that you've been living with for so many months now. Yes, the situation that's broken on you in the last 12 hours and it's still just a terrifying blur in your mind and you've not even begun to understand what's happening. It's all happening so quickly. The Lord Jesus says to you in that situation, I don't want you to be worrying about it. Don't let your hearts be disturbed. Now, he is not saying that the situations we face in this world aren't serious. Nor is he saying that we shouldn't do everything we can to sort out those situations. He's not telling us that we should live in a sort of dreamy detachment. That's the goal of Eastern religions, you know, where you float off into a sort of haze of mystical ecstasy. You meditate until you blow your mind so that then you can be completely unaware of the problems around you. Well, Jesus isn't saying that. Jesus is saying to his disciples, I want you to see the problems. He's very frank in these chapters about the problems they're going to face. He talks about how the world is going to hate them and persecute them. He says, I want you to be aware of the problems. I want you to recognize them and be realistic about them. And then I want you to trust me. And I want you to trust my Father. There is no situation where you need to despair or tear yourself to pieces with worry. There is no situation where a Christian cannot find peace. Because whatever the situation is that's troubling you, A, I care about it. B, I'm capable of bringing good out of that situation. And C, I can show you a way forward in that situation. Even if you can't see where it's going to end, there is always something that you can do with my help now. So these chapters from chapter 14 through 15 and the chapter we're looking at, chapter 16, these chapters all have one purpose. to encourage believers, to help us to trust Jesus Christ as we live in this world, to show us what we can trust Jesus Christ for as we live our lives here in this world. In these chapters, the Lord Jesus was preparing his disciples for every situation that they would face here in this world after he left them. The situations that we face every day. These chapters are full of encouragements and comforts. They are full of great promises and assurances. Now, we've looked at some of the great assurances that Jesus gives to his disciples here in these chapters. Look at chapter 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I'd have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Every moment I'm away from you, says Jesus, I'll be thinking about you. In fact, I'll be using that time away from you to prepare an eternal home for you. And then I'm going to come back, says Jesus. And I'm going to take you to be with me in that home. And you're going to be with me forever. This separation is only for a short time. And then we are going to be together for all eternity. That's the ultimate assurance that the Lord Jesus gives to the believer. That whatever situations may arise in this world, they're going to be short-lived. When you've thought of the very worst that could happen to you in this world, I promise you it's not going to go on for more than 100 years or so. Because none of you are going to live much more than 100 years. You're not going to have to face any situation for very long. But then you'll step into another world. Into an eternal world. A world where you will never be separated from the Lord Jesus again. A world that is forever, that will go on and on and on, where the joys of the house of Jesus Christ are there to be explored for all eternity in the company of your Saviour. That's the great reassurance the Lord Jesus gives to you. Again, look at chapter 14, verse 12. There's another great reassurance. I tell you the truth, says Jesus. Anyone who has faith in me, any believer, will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. Yes, you're going to have to live here in this world. And you'll face huge challenges and frightening situations. And many times you'll feel absolutely inadequate and helpless. But I promise you, you will have vast, immeasurable resources to call on. And you will accomplish astonishing things, supernatural things. In fact, you disciples, you are going to do greater things than I've ever done here on earth, says the Lord Jesus. Because, verse 13, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You'll always have that resource. Whatever situation you're in, however bleak and hopeless it may seem, you will always have that resource. Yes, we'll be separated. I'll be in heaven while you're here on earth. But I'm still going to be listening to every word you say. I'm still going to be paying attention to every whispered request. You'll always have my attention to your prayers. And wherever you are, whatever situation you're in, you can call out to me. And Jesus says, verse 14 of chapter 14, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I'll do it. Again, look at the opening verses of chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so that it'll be even more fruitful. And then Jesus says in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. That's a third great reassurance, isn't it? You'll be living here on earth, says Jesus, and I'll be living in heaven, and yet we'll still be joined. Just as much as the branches of a vine are joined to the vine. There's an unbreakable link between us, says the Lord Jesus to his disciples. You're joined to me. And so, because of that, you're infinitely precious to my Father in heaven. And he's going to take the most intimate, personal interest in you. My Father will look after each one of you just as a gardener tends every branch of the vine. He'll make sure you bear fruit for his glory. Now that's a wonderful reassurance, isn't it? For every Christian who feels that he's making no progress, for every Christian who's conscious of indwelling sin, for every Christian who's struggling against deeply ingrained habits, God the Father, Jesus' Father, my Father, is watching me. He's inspecting me as a gardener inspects the fruit trees in the garden. He's overseeing my spiritual life, my spiritual growth. And he's promised that he will tend me, and that he'll prune me, and that he will produce fruit in my life for his own glory. The process may be slow, but he's guaranteed it will happen. Every branch in me that bears fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. These are just a few of the great reassurances we've looked at in these chapters. And then there's another, a fourth. Look at chapter 14, verse 16. I will ask the Father, says Jesus, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Jesus promises that the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, from heaven to be with his disciples forever. And never forget, when the Holy Spirit comes from heaven to the disciples and to us, he comes as Jesus's Spirit. He comes sent by Jesus. He comes to relay Jesus's presence. He comes sharing the character, the personality of Jesus. He comes as Jesus's other self. He is the invisible presence of Jesus, acting on Jesus's behalf. And this Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, will live inside the disciples individually. He will live within the church corporately, and he will live within every believer. You see chapter 14, verse 17, he now lives with you, and he will be in you. Jesus is already living with them. But through the Holy Spirit, he is going to live in them. So Jesus can say to them in chapter 14, verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. They're not going to be alone in the world. They are going to have the Lord Jesus with them at all times, in all places, in every situation. Because the Holy Spirit who is going to come to them is the Spirit of Jesus Christ himself, doing the things Jesus does, saying the things Jesus says. The God-man, Jesus Christ, sends out the Holy Spirit from heaven into the world to be his agent, his representative, to mediate his presence perfectly to all his people. The Holy Spirit will come to teach the disciples. Chapter 14, verse 26. He'll come to carry on Jesus' teaching work. The counsel of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. That is why the believer must not be troubled in any situation, because Jesus is with him through his Spirit in every situation. You remember the disciples in that boat on the lake, as the storms begin to throw the boat from side by side, and as the waves come in over the side of the boat. It's a terrifying situation. Jesus Christ is in the boat. They're safe. And the believer is able to say in every situation, Jesus Christ is here. He's with me. His Holy Spirit dwells in me. I am not alone. And so to fret or to fear in any situation is to doubt the sufficiency of Jesus to handle that situation. By his Spirit, Jesus is in as well as with the believer in every situation. And the Lord Jesus, by his Spirit, we've just read it, is able to teach the Christian all things. In every situation, he's able to tell me all the things I need to know for that situation. He's able to give me all the guidance and comfort and wisdom I need for any situation. You see, chapter 14, verse 26, he will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. And then Jesus adds, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. That is why the believer can be at peace in any situation, because the Spirit of Jesus is with us, ready to teach us all things. Well, my mother's so ill in hospital, and I don't know who's going to look after her when she comes out. I don't know how to handle that situation. Well, Jesus, by his Spirit, will teach me all things. He'll make plain the best thing to do. But my children are unconverted and rebellious and hardened, and I don't know how to handle them. Well, the Holy Spirit will teach me all things. He'll teach me how to handle them and how to love them and how to pray for them. But I myself, I'm so cold and weak and backslidden. Well, the Holy Spirit will teach me all things. He'll teach me how to overcome these nagging temptations. He'll teach me how to put to death these persistent sins. He'll teach me how to pray for grace. He'll teach me how to walk closely with God in a depraved world. He'll teach me how to love my fellow believers, whom I find it so hard to love. He'll teach me how to develop a life of godliness. If Jesus Christ, by his Spirit, is with me, in me, if the mighty God-man, the Holy One, the Sovereign Lord of the universe, if the Conqueror really has come to live in my heart by his Spirit, if he really has promised never to leave me to face any situation alone, then no situation is hopeless. I need never despair. I need never be terrified. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. The world says, don't worry. Everything will be okay, I hope. But Jesus says, don't worry. Whatever happens, I'll be there by my Spirit. I'll be there to teach you. I'll be there to show you the right next step. I'll be there to give you strength and wisdom and grace for every situation. I give you my peace. And so he can repeat again, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus in our hearts, that is the great reason why the Christian need not and must not worry in any situation. You remember the words that the Lord Jesus addressed to the disciples when they woke him up in their panic in the boat. And he says, oh, you of little faith, what were you so frenzied about? Had you forgotten that I'm here? I guess we've all been in a situation where we've suddenly found ourselves in charge of a situation that was beyond us. You're babysitting and mum and dad won't be back for 4 or 5 hours. And there's something wrong. And the baby's crying and crying and his temperature feels sky high to you and you don't know what to do and you're sure there's something wrong. Did you ring for a doctor? Or do you call in a neighbour to look at the child? Or do you try to ring the restaurant where mum and dad were planning to eat this evening? And you're responsible and you're in charge and you can't handle it. And you're in a panic because you don't know what to do. And then suddenly the doorbell rings. And you rush to the door. And it's a friend who just happens to have called. And she's a nurse. And oh, the relief. You're not on your own anymore. There's somebody who's so much more experienced than you are. And who can tell you just what to do. And oh, the relief. As I say, we've all been in those situations, haven't we? Suddenly you're left in charge of the office. The boss hasn't turned up. And the office manager is ill. And his deputy's just had to go out on a call. And he's just left everything to you. But what if? And all the things that could go wrong race through your mind. There's so much you don't know. So many things you're not competent to handle. Well, what if I'm asked to handle this? What if so-and-so asks that question and the responsibility is all on me? It's too big. It's terrifying. And then the office door swings open and the boss walks in. He was held up on the motorway, but he's back now. And I just tell him all those situations that have arisen in his absence, which I think I've made a mess of. And I list out all the phone calls where I've put people on hold and said, we'll get back to you. And he takes charge. And he tells me how to handle things. And he gives me directions. It's just such a huge relief when I know that there is someone there with me, for me, over me. I'm not handling this on my own now. I don't have to worry about it. I'm not ultimately responsible. And so the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, and he says to us, you don't have to worry. There will never be one situation in all your life where my Spirit will not be with you to teach you, to give you wisdom, to give you strength and grace, to give you exactly the help I would give you if I were with you physically, visibly. In every situation, I am able to say the Lord Jesus is at my side. The Lord Jesus is here. Indeed, he dwells within me by his Holy Spirit. Now, let me emphasize again that this help that the Holy Spirit can give to the believer in every situation is not a magical thing. We're not talking now about little hunches being put in a Christian's mind. We're not talking about reassuring little words being whispered into our hearts. You remember the Lord Jesus returns to the subject of the way that the Holy Spirit teaches and guides believers in chapter 15 and verses 26 and 27. And then again in chapter 16, verse 12 onwards. And we were looking at those verses just before we took our summer break. Chapter 16, verse 12. The Lord Jesus says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. You see, the Holy Spirit doesn't just give us little snippets of guidance for individual situations. Lots of people talk as if that's the way he works. Well, I was just given a word from the Lord this morning. But that isn't the way that the Holy Spirit guides believers. Rather, he leads us forward into all truth. He helps us understand the whole truth, the truth about God and about ourselves. World, about the future. And then, as we understand that big picture, then we're able to make wise decisions in individual situations. And the Holy Spirit helps us to make those decisions. He helps us to see how that big truth must be applied and worked out in our little situations. And as he does this, we can truly say that it is the Lord Jesus himself who is carrying us through everything we have to face here in this world. It's Jesus who sends his Holy Spirit into the world to guide his own people into all truth, and thus to teach them everything they need to know. Do you remember we looked at the four dimensions of how the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth? First, he reveals the truth. The Holy Spirit revealed the truth to the apostles once for all, and he guided them to record it infallibly in this book for all time. Secondly, the Holy Spirit explains the truth. He helps us understand what is written in this book. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit illumines the truth. He brings it home to our hearts so that it impacts upon us. And finally, the Holy Spirit applies the truth. He brings the truths from this book to bear upon us in such a way that he reproves us and corrects us and trains us in righteousness and prepares us for all good works so that we can be complete men and women of God. And when the Holy Spirit does these things, it's Jesus doing these things by his Holy Spirit. You see, everything that the Holy Spirit brings to us comes from Jesus Christ himself. Chapter 16, verse 13, the second half of the verse. He, the Spirit, will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. As we study the Bible, any part of the Bible, Old Testament as much as New Testament, in our own quiet times, and especially as we gather together like this, as the Holy Spirit helps us understand, and as he illuminates the word, and as he applies it to us, we are hearing the voice of Jesus Christ himself. He really is with me when I kneel at my bedside and pore over this book. He really is with us when we gather together and say those words, we are met to worship God, and then begin to read the words of Scripture. You know, as a church, we've got great decisions to make over these next few weeks, and we'll need so much wisdom. We need to be guided, and we could feel so intimidated by the scale of the choices that we have to make. But we have Jesus with us by his Holy Spirit, just as certainly as the disciples did when he was here on earth. And he's able to show us through this book the wisest, the best thing to do. He's able to show us the right way to pray. He's able to show us step by step the way ahead, just as certainly as he did the disciples. We're not left holding the baby. We're not left running the office single-handedly. Jesus says, I am with you always. Not in a magical way, not in a mystical way, but because his Spirit really is in us. Individually, if we're believers in Jesus Christ, corporately in the church. And the Lord Jesus really is able to give wisdom and grace and strength for every situation as he speaks to us through the book that he has inspired. Well, these are the great reassurances that Jesus has given to his people for all places, for all times, for every situation. I've only left you for a little while. You know, sometimes a mum has to say to her little boy, a little girl, now just stay here a little while, I've got to go and do something. And the little child is afraid, and he or she says, don't leave me, don't leave me. And mum says, I'll be back in a minute. I'm only going to leave you a little while, I'll be back. And the Lord Jesus, that is the great assurance he gives to his people, I'll be back. It's only for a little while. I'm not leaving you forever. I'm going to be back. And then the second great reassurance, I'll hear your prayers, you know. And I'll do whatever you ask in my name. If there is something you lack in a particular situation, if there is something you need, you've only got to ask for it. Ask in my name and I will give you whatever you ask for. You'll never be left saying, I don't have the wisdom to handle this. You'll never be left saying, I don't have the resources to do what's required of me. In any situation, ask and you'll receive, says the Lord Jesus. The third great reassurance, you're joined to me. My life is in you. Your life is in me. We belong together for all eternity, says Jesus. And the Father is watching you. And he's caring you, and he's tending you every moment. And you will be fruitful, you know, because the Father won't make any mistakes. The Father won't let you wither away and die. And then this fourth great reassurance, I will give you my Spirit. I'll give you my own Spirit. And he will teach you everything you need to know. And he'll guide you through every situation. You will never be alone. Four great promises. They're comprehensive. They cover every one of your lives if you are believers in Jesus Christ. And they cover every situation in your life. And they cover every situation that you may ever have to face in all the years to come. You see, the Lord Jesus, as he spoke these words to his disciples, he, in his divine mind, knew exactly what was going to happen to them. He knew from all eternity what was going to happen in the life of every one of you. He knew the whole story, which is just unfolding before your eyes. And he gave these promises to be comprehensive promises for every situation that would ever arise in the life of his church or in the life of any believer. Four great promises. The only question is whether we believe them. If our faith were but more simple, we would take him at his word. Don't let your hearts be troubled, he says. Trust in God. Whatever your situation, trust in God and trust also in me. But we do pray that the Holy Spirit will explain and illuminate and apply these words to our hearts for Jesus' sake.